are you hoping to get out of these kind of OTAs as you guys,
Yeah, right now it's exciting to get on the field. You know, we've had a lot of meetings, you know, as coaches, just putting the scheme together, big picture, and then with the players, as far as just what the changes are going to be, how we want to get this thing started. And you get to OTAs, you finally get to see it on the field and put it together a little bit and work through some of the issues and see how comfortable, right? It's easy in a meeting setting or in a walkthrough setting to feel comfortable, but to get on the field and really get a sense of what they understand and how fast and how well they can execute it. That's the most exciting part right now.
The last time we spoke to you was before free agency, before the draft. What are your impressions of what your personnel looks like now? Actually, you have quite a few new additions on that side of the ball.
Yeah, a lot of new additions. Yeah, we're excited about where we're at from a personnel standpoint. Still things we got to work through, and that's where, again, OTAs are huge, just to see how comfortable guys are and really what this thing needs to be, come season, right? And there'll be adjustments in training camp with the personnel and how they're being used in schematically, but excited for the beginning part of this and knowing that it's still early in the process.
When you were watching IGB before the draft, what did you like about him and what has stood out to you early on since he's been in the building here?
Number one, competitiveness, right? He's extremely competitive in everything he does, and then growth. You know, I saw a player, I've been watching him for a long time, so saw a player early in his career that I thought had to make some adjustments in order to really maximize his potential, and really saw him do that this last year. So those two things, I think you see young players that are willing to make adjustments and grow, and you always want to bring in that culture of competitiveness.
Similarly for TJ, like what has stood out to him now getting him in the building and stuff? Like what are your first impressions of getting to know him?
Number one, he's a worker. He wants to be coached. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He felt like, in his mind at least, he fell in the draft a little bit. We're really excited to get him. We had our eyes on him early in the process, and just excited to see his mentality, his work ethic, and just the buy-in with the program. Early impressions very good as far as the maturity that he has and kind of what he wants to be as a player in this league.
Hey, Jim, in terms of the nose tackle, the defensive tackle, but the nose tackle position, you know, last year in Denver, you guys really didn't usually line up a guy right over the center. It was always offset. But in this defense, the way you're going to operate it, is that going to be similar? And who are we looking at that's going to be in the middle of that line for you guys?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question everybody wants to know. Obviously, in my past at Wisconsin, we played more with a zero nose. Denver, DJ Jones, it's not his thing. It's not what he liked to do. He liked to be on an edge to where that's where schematically we got with that. And right now there's a number of players that we're repping in that position. And, again, whether you're a zero, a shade, the techniques that you can use, there's a lot of different ways to get it done. And it might be a little bit on an individual basis on who's in there and what we're going to ask them to do. Right now, that's the exciting part up front. Right, there's some pieces that you're trying to figure out exactly the best role for them and where they fit. And again, this is OTA 4 coming up today, where we actually get to get on the field. And some guys are a little bit more limited at this time in the offseason, coming off of injuries and things like that. Just any level of the defense, but it's exciting to start to experiment a little bit. And coming out of this spring, going into fall camp, I think we'll have a really good idea on where this scheme needs to be.
And that Dwayne Carter is part of his weight gain. He's noticeably admitted that he's gained weight. Was that part of why he's had to do that? You want to get him in that role maybe and be heavier?
Yeah, that's definitely a role that he can fill for us. Part of that was just his year in the weight room, right? When he got injured, not being able to run and move, he got really strong. You know, he got really strong, but he kept his mobility. So again, a number of players you're trying to find the exact fit from a weight and a scheme standpoint. He knows he wants to get down, and he naturally will as he gets more mobile and able to run coming off that injury. So excited about where he's at. He put in a ton of work. He feels very confident with his strength and where his body's at right now.
Jim, I think you just said it feels like it also probably applied to Landon Jackson in some capacity, and I know you're new with this team now, but how have you seen the early returns from him, and how do you think he fits into this defense?
Number one, I'm excited that he sees the vision of the defense and what his role can be in it. Anytime you're coming off an injury, the number one thing is just the confidence, right? The confidence in your body, the confidence in it's that it's going to respond the way that you want and what you expect. His body looks great. He's doing a tremendous job of learning the new scheme and where he fits. Everything we asked him to do, you saw on his college tape, right? Everything we're going to ask him to do, whether that's playing on the edge or sliding inside to the B gap. So, again, as a player that I was familiar with for a number of years before I even got here from the college and watching his tape. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And you mentioned Dwayne, you mentioned him, like those are pieces that it's fun to start to see how they're going to come together. And the number one thing for them is just getting the confidence back in their body and in their health. And then come fall camp, I think it'll really dial into what exactly they're going to be asked to do and how big that role is.
For our purposes, when we talk about players and where they play, how do you define like a 4-eye or a 5? Is that a defensive tackle, a defensive end? Just when we talk about and write about, we can get twisted up like that sometimes based on the front. So 4-eye for Landon, do you call him a tackle or do you call him an end?
He's a defensive end in the scheme, but if you said any interior A-gap or B-gap players are your traditional defensive tackles, you're spot on, right? And there are times that they will kick out into a five schematically what they're asked to do, that they'll be playing in that C-gap. But think of your outside backers more as your defensive ends in this system, whether it's your 3-4 or when we get to our four-down stuff, they are more of your traditional defensive ends in your four-down structure.
And so Greg and Bradley Chubb and TJ, those guys, do you define them as edge rushers, ends, and linebackers? Kind of.
Yeah, I think you can take it straight to the Pro Bowl voting now and say, just think of it more as edges, right? Who's going to be the edges of your defense? And that would more fall to those outside backers, yes.
So how important was it to bring in Chubb, because he has played this position in an odd man front defense before, whereas most of the guys on this team really haven't? Hoyt's talking a little bit. Mm-hmm. How important was bringing Chubb in just for that reason alone?
Hey, we thought it was huge. The experience, I mean, he was drafted as a first rounder for this defense, right? So, and he's played in very similar defenses the majority of his career, even at Miami. So, excited to have him for the player that he is, right? The experience, the versatility he has, and the leadership. I mean, he knocked it out of the park when you started talking to him in free agency, just what he was going to be able to provide the team, the defense. You know, he's one of those personalities that can reach to the other side of the ball, right? There's a lot of times you have great leaders within your room or within a defense or an offense, and then every once in a while you get special guys that can kind of hit anybody on the team and really be that leader, and he's been that. He takes a lot of pride in it, so we're excited kind of in all facets for what he can bring to this team.
Hey, Jim, Ed Oliver is a guy that was hurt a lot of last season, but he's got a body of work in the league. I'm sure you've watched plenty of him to this point. Now, how do you envision him fitting into what you're going to be asking him to do?
I think Ed's going to be really disruptive in this defense. The base defense being more different for him than what it's been in the past, and in all reality, a little bit more freedom than he's had in the past. The sub package things like a little bit more familiar to what they've done here from a front structure. So I think he's starting to see kind of where he fits and how he's going to fit and how we're going to be able to utilize him and create some one-on-ones and isolate some guards, which all defensive linemen get excited about.
We hear so much about C.J. Gardner-Johnson's personality and the way that's been a plus at his previous stops. Even in this setting, shorts, T-shirts, all that, how have you seen his personality resonate on the practice field?
He's loud. He brings energy. He loves football, right? The day-to-day, the workouts, the meetings. He's a guy who loves being in the building. He's trying to be a leader, man. He really wants to be that. It's exciting being able to work with guys that really want to be in front of the room and talk and hold people accountable, right? I think there's a downside sometimes, right, where people are a little bit edgy when they're competitive like that. And as a team, you have to understand who you have and the roles that they need to be in. But we're excited about just his passion and energy for the game and what he brings into the building every day.
What have been your impressions of Terrell Bernard at linebacker?
He's a pro. Obviously, he coming off an injury is a little bit limited what he's doing on the field right now, but everything in the classroom, the meetings, the communication, the focus level that he has, it's really impressive to see every day. And as he continues to to get healthier. You know, we know what he is on the field, right? So it's not a rush. He's a person that you know what he can do. And again, half of his is the leadership, the intangibles as far as communication on the field, in between series. He kills that. So we're being smart with the ankle, and he'll be on the field a lot more as the OTAs continue to progress, and full go come camp is what we would expect.
You've prepped to go against Josh Allen in the past. What's it been like being behind the doors and seeing him kind of do his work?
It's awesome just to see the personality and, again, the kind of playfulness that he brings it, man. It's a grind. There's a lot of time and a lot of investment, but he obviously has a lot of fun. So he keeps it loose and then gets inside the white lines and ultra competitive. And it's different right now when you can't play live football and all that. But just to see the energy that he brings the team and the leadership the offense has and kind of every series he hits the field, you definitely feel it and you notice it when he breaks the huddle. So going against that every day is going to be a blessing for this defense. You know, it doesn't get much more challenging than what these guys can provide us in the run game and the play action, all that type of stuff with Josh.
Jim, going back to linebacker, Dorian Williams is a guy that's started games in this league, but most of the time it's been because of an injury or someone ahead of him on the depth chart. It seems like he's in a position where he's going to have an opportunity here to go out and earn a starting job for you. What would you like to see from Dorian, and what have your observations of him been, you know, to this point in his career?
Yeah, first impression's been great. Soaks it all in, right? Soaks it all in. I think he's a guy that, again, fresh start, new defense, putting him some different positions to show his versatility and his leadership more than anything, being that every down backer for us. So excited about his start and just want to continue to grow, right? As my goal in the offseason was really to overload, right? Throw as many things at him as possible. Make him uncomfortable and force communication. And again, just trying to find all the holes where, like, this makes sense. And all right, this 6 week break or whatever the break is before training camp is, this is where these guys really need to focus to take the next step. So we're comfortable. A number of players in his shoes, you know, Dorian is a guy that he's going to have an opportunity to have a huge impact in this defense. And it's kind of how comfortable can they get? Like, how fast can they get comfortable to where they're just flying around and playing with violence, playing with physicality? And that's the big test from now until training camp for guys like him.
Plenty of Mike Dana, obviously, with the Chiefs. Was he, you know, bringing him in, what do you like about that player and how he fits here?
I think, number one, you saw the versatility. Like, he always made a play. He always found a way to make a play. And you know, they have some superstars on that defense that you were always looking for those names, and all of a sudden his always popped up in critical moments. The versatility he has, he's played all around the defensive line, interior, on the edges. So anytime you can bring in a vet who's kind of willing to do all the dirty work in a number of different ways, you feel like as a coach you can utilize their strengths and hopefully help, you know, move the pieces around him just because of that experience that he has.
You've got several guys who can play nickel in this defense. It was obviously a priority for Brandon. Why is that spot so important, you know, in your scheme? And what are your thoughts on D. Alford and why he was a priority for you guys when free agency opened?
Yeah, I think number one, just big picture in the scheme, you know, we do some unique things from a motion adjustment standpoint and communication, that nickel position is crucial, right? And with this league, the versatility of the tight ends and some of the receivers that now will go into the slot, like you need a starter in there, in my opinion. And D did a great job in Atlanta. He did some similar things schematically to what we're asking. He's also shown the ability to play outside at a high level. So, you know, he was a pretty big target for us early. Obviously, he was our first signing in free agency. So it was really exciting to get him in the building, and he's killed it. You know, he's a pro. He just wants to be coached, soaks up every opportunity that you have to meet with him, and he's a technician. So really excited about where that can go. And we're going to get to a lot of different packages where we can put different people in there and play in the slot and not solely put it on one person, right? Whether that's another corner or whether that's a safety at times, I love the depth that we're starting to build at both positions to really, again, use the versatility of that group to kind of mix and match pieces to give defenses or offenses a problem.
Jim, last week, Bradley Chubb described you as a quiet assassin, someone who doesn't talk a lot, but when you do, it means a lot. Do you think of yourself that way, or is that your personality coaching-wise?
I like to read a room, man. I like to sit back and the more I learn about these guys, the more I will learn how to be more vocal and more energetic with them. I'm kind of seeing where they're at. That's just my personality and my nature. But, I'm not going to say a whole lot unless I have to. You know, you overlook me if you want to. I've always had that kind of chip on my shoulder. So carry that on as a coach because I think it's important to be who you are. And if I'm trying to give a message, I think guys understand that it's real. And, whether it's motivational or kind of philosophy, big picture of what I believe in defense or culture and team building, I think when they know I bring something to a meeting, they know I mean it.
It's been 4 years since you had this chance to be a defensive coordinator again on the show. Now 4 months in, how's it feel?
It's exciting. You know, I kind of intentionally took a step back because I felt like I had skipped a few steps in the process to get where I was. And it's exciting to get in front of the room, right? Coach your coaches, you know, lead the staff that way rather than supporting a defensive coordinator or just supporting a head coach. So that's been exciting for me. I think it's anytime you're trying to sell your defense to your staff and to your team, like you become more convicted on it, right? So that's been a huge piece of the last 4 weeks or 4 months, just getting everybody settled in and truly understanding what I think the vision of this is going to be and taking their feedback and input and kind of making it our defense and new to what we're going to do in Buffalo.
Secret sauce type stuff. Has there been a point in your last 4 years where you're thinking, I can't wait to apply this. Like, I know this has been, I want to apply it. Have you had one of those moments yet where it's like, here we go, where I haven't been able to, now I can?
Yeah, every year, right? Every year in those different scenarios that I was in. And you know, it's easy when you're an assistant coach to sit, well, I would do this differently or I would do that differently. Now you're the one making the decisions at times or helping, right? I think it's easy sometimes to sit back and complain or not bring feedback to the people that are above you as far as the structure of a staff. And the reminder over those years of, like, be more vocal, like, use your experience, use your voice to get things changed. And that's the fun part, I think, of being a coordinator is being in a position to make those tough decisions and getting guys to buy into it and believe in what you're trying to do.
In these last 4 months, you get thrown right into this, and obviously you immediately get to work, but it's also a place you're familiar with and spent, a decent chunk of your life. Have you reflected on that at all? Like, does it feel, once again, like you never left? Does it feel very different than when you were here last time, just being back in Western New York?
A little bit of both. It's familiar, right? Just knowing the culture of the building, right? I think the Bills have always been a place that have done it a little bit differently, right? It's unique. You're not in Miami. You're not in LA, right? Like, it is. It feels like the town's team, right? Like, everyone's highly invested. You walk around the building, and there's people that, like, they're not going anywhere. They don't want to leave, right? It's truly what is best for the organization, and how is it? How are we representing the city of Buffalo in Western New York? Like, that's a huge piece to what being a Bill is. So that's exciting to come back and feel that familiarity, right? There's a lot of new faces and a lot of new, culture of winning, right? When Josh got here. So it's exciting to see both sides, right? The new and still a little bit of stuff that's old. That's the exciting part of the offseason. Like, I had a vision for what I want it to be, and it might not totally get there in year one, right? We have to be real as far as who we have, what their skill sets are, and I have to be flexible as well as them, right? And that's where that overload philosophy was. Like, let's push a lot of stuff at them and really stress them out mentally and schematically what we think we're going to be able to do, and then just start to dial it in as we get closer to week one. So I think it works. You're asking your players to do that and have an open mind and try some different things. And myself as a coach, I have a vision of what I think it's going to be. And now that's where the OTAs and once we get into training camp, it's really dialing it into what it's going to become. And what it looks like week one might not be what it looks like in week 10. And I think that's going to be a good thing.
Jim, TJ Sanders had to play kind of around on the line last year by necessity with some injuries, but did that actually maybe help a little bit in your evaluation of him and how he's going to fit into what you ask him to do?
It definitely helps. You know, you cannot get a substitute for playing time on Sundays. So every rep is huge for young players to get out there and learn and grow from. And obviously as coaches, it gives you something to evaluate and try to have a better picture of where exactly you think they're going to fit. And he's a guy who's really excited about the changes of the defense and what he thinks his role can be in it. And he'll continue to grow and build what that's going to be throughout the offseason and in camp as well.
Jim, you guys use a pretty high asset on IGB, so that naturally poses some questions about how you guys view Max Harrison. What skills do you think Max brings to what you're going to do with
him? Yeah, we love Max. I was a huge fan of Max coming out of college as well. And we're not down on any of the corners we had. We needed depth. And I firmly believe, like, you have to be able to rush the passer. You have to be able to cover. And we needed more depth in the room in order to do that. And, again, IGB is a guy that we saw as a ascending player that gave us a little something different, right? The size, the length that he has is a little bit different than what we had in the room. And we just felt like that was the right person to get in the room with that pick. And excited that it went that way. You know, obviously was huge going through the draft process with being the first time and getting two defensive players early in the draft. Like, that was really, really exciting for me. And now we got to go make it right. So, but that was the biggest thing. It had nothing to do with Max or CB or bringing D in. Like, we need more depth. Like, you need more starters in a secondary. You can never have enough guys who can cover. To me, just confirm what my early assessment was. He knows how to talk. He knows how to communicate and get buy-in from a team. That's exciting. He's willing to go up there and say the hard thing. You know, obviously it's pretty low stress in the off season, but at the same time, like, the messaging I thought has been really good with the team. And, right now they trust us. They believe us. We have to continue to push them. And, we know things are going to get harder and we got to be the same people going through that as well. But yeah, just to see how he communicates with the staff, the plan that he has, again, laying it out for the players and the vision for where we're going. I think that's been the number one thing that I've seen.
What did you like about Max ahead of the draft?
Obviously from a speed and athleticism standpoint, it was the top of the class, right? And then you add in the ball skills, the ability to take the ball away. Right. He flashed that last year. Right. You saw some big play potential. I felt like he was a guy that you have to create some vision for in your defense. However you get to that. Right. Like, when he's staring at the quarterback, like, good things seem to happen in college. So I think Buffalo did a great job schematically with him last year. And we're just going to continue to grow. Again, he's high energy all the time. He loves ball. He loves practice. You know, any little coaching point you give him on a one-on-one you know, basis, he's really into that. So to me, the energy and the passion about football, and then obviously he's got high level athletic traits. We want to keep him healthy for a whole season, right? That's the one thing that's going to be a big challenge for him, is just continue to grow into that NFL body and be available every week.
The book on Caleb Ellerdor coming out of the draft, which is physicality, how can he show that during a time where your practices are in shorts and t-shirts?
It's hard to do, right? He's doing everything we're asking him right now. He's a very efficient mover. So it's really cool to watch him, whether he knows it or not. I think he's in the right spot the majority of the time. He's got a really good feel for the game. But yeah, in the off season, showing off the physicality is a little bit harder than maybe he'd like it, because that's their comfort zone. A lot of these guys coming from college if I just make it physical, then I'll show who I am. You know, NFL rules don't always allow for that, but he's done an excellent job of picking up the defense and being able to communicate. you know, early on, he's running with the ones at times in controlling the huddle and getting things lined up. So excited for him to grow as a player and see what he can do. But yeah, you saw the physicality, his willingness to strike and use his hands on top of being square. Like it was impressive tape, and he can absolutely fly around the field. He brings a lot of energy and a lot of juice just as with how he can run to the football.